You're listening to a DM podcast.
What's for dinner?
Stop licking each other.
He killed my banana.
Don't even think about it.
He's touching me.
Okay, I'm going to count to three.
Where are you?
One.
He's looking at me weird.
Ryan, where's the wine?
Don't you let me get to three.
I love you, Mummy.
Stop playing with your doodles.
This is beyond the chaos.
This is beyond the chaos.
Do I look silly sitting on this cushion?
Why are you sitting on a cushion?
I just want to feel higher than you.
Hello and welcome back to Beyond the Chaos. It is your co-host, Amy Gerard. I'm mum of three, sometimes disheveled, sometimes put together. And I am joined today by...
co-host Jen Muir.
Co-host Jen Muir.
Equal co-host sitting on a cushion to feel higher than Amy Gerard.
So reign supreme over me.
Mum of four, author, parent educator.
Authors.
Yep. And I am just thinking, let's just kick straight into it this week. Tell me what is not working. What's your fail?
Mine this week would be, I mean, small and trivial, but it was just the straw that broke the camel's back, running around a million miles an hour, and I had... pre-thought of dinner. It was a McCain's pizza. It was obviously an organic slow-cooked meal that I spent hours making all day. No, I pulled it out of the oven.
Hand-kneaded the dough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pulled it out of the oven, had the three plates up, and then as I was walking over to put it down on the bench, it slid out of my hands, splattered against the wall, and then just slid down the cupboard. And I was just like, you know
those
what?
Those moments, that is... like, that breaks you. Did you pour a glass of wine?
I
feel like pouring a glass of wine just hearing this story.
I may have just drank straight from the bottle. I don't even know.
This story is bringing back trauma where I'm back. I've got three kids. One's in a bouncer and I burnt a pizza.
Yeah.
So beyond belief. So beyond belief. I'm sure one of my kids had pneumonia at the time. Like, you know, there was a... we were moving from Brisbane to Sydney. There was a lot. But I'm going to put my photo of my burnt pizza
on the
Insta, and we'll put Amy's photo of the pizza down the wall on the Insta.
Yeah.
And maybe if you have ever burnt a dinner or thrown it down a wall, we want to see a picture of it.
And in any other normal situation, I would have been like, oh, that's annoying. But like... when you're three kids deep and stuff, it's just like...
I think dinner down a wall, I would have sobbed. I would have sat on the floor and sobbed.
Yeah, listen, I had a good old chuckle and then I served them Nutrigrain for dinner.
Yes!
Yeah. But talk to me about yours. Can you up me?
Different.
Uh-huh.
So a little bit of a fail. You know when you're not aware of yourself, but it was really funny. My youngest came up to me this week. So my eldest often leaves for school and he leaves. I don't know if it's a boy thing, but he doesn't really say, bye, love you, mum, and hug me. He just walks out the front door, you hear the front door go. And so I always like chase him out and go, bye, love you, and like, do my thing. A little bit of connection. You may not want it, but I'm here to give it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I did it that day. I was like, and it was sort of drizzling a bit. And I was like, do you want a lift? And he goes, no, thanks. And I go, you sure? I'm happy to give you a lift. And he's like, no, thanks. And I was like, okay, all right. Well, if you need a lift later, let me know. And I came back inside and my youngest child walks up to me, he goes, do you know what, mum? And I said, what? He goes, you're becoming a bit like the dog is with you, with Owen. Like, you're the dog. It's like you're just wanting more from him than he's giving back. And I was like, crushing.
Wow. What an observation from your youngest.
This was my baby. Like, this was my kid. He was so needy forever. And now he just is not needy at all. And he's gone. Yeah. And like, he just so rarely wants my opinion. Like, he does sometimes. And every now and then we snuggle on the couch and watch Gogglebox. And like, we have our moments, but mostly,
They do that. How old is he? 14.
He's almost 15. Oh. So his world is his mates. Man. And it's like, so true that we have their ear until we don't. And then,
And is it so sad?
You know what? You know, I do have a little bit of, I don't like reject. I have rejection sensitivity, I'm pretty sure.
Who doesn't? Let's be honest. Who doesn't?
So I think I do have that. And yeah, so I'm doing my work. I'm making sure
you're working on yourself too.
I'm working on myself, you know, because don't want to be too needy. So that's it.
What's your problem? I need some help.
So So we're just going to throw to Shannon, who has a question about having another baby and feeling ready.
Hi, Jen and Amy. Love the pod. I've got something I would love to hear you guys talk about because I'm having all the feels and just don't know where to take them. We just found out we're pregnant with baby number 2, which was always part of the plan, but just not so soon. We were thinking we'd have a big gap and now we're looking at 2, just under 2. I feel like I've just got back into the swing of work, which I love, and I'm going to have to go to my boss and have a ridiculous conversation about having another year off. And then we bought an apartment off the plan that's not due to be ready until the baby is already here, so I'd be bringing baby back to a one-bedroom apartment. And I just feel like my eldest is still a baby and we need to spend as much time with him as possible. So I feel like I'm not ready. I feel like it's not part of the plan. I feel out of control. I feel stupid. And I would just love to hear you guys chat about it. Thank you so much.
You know what? Can I just say, this is only from having girlfriends who have had babies in really, really close succession. I've got a girlfriend who has Irish twins. She fell pregnant when her first was 8 weeks old. My girlfriend Bezel fell pregnant when Hope was 4 months old. I have another girlfriend. Yeah, I have another girlfriend who had. Well, I mean, I just wasn't even having sex then, let alone.
That's my point. Yeah. Like, no way was my shop open then.
Yeah, but can I say, I haven't experienced that. I've got 22 months between my 3, but all 3 of the women that I know who have had kids really close together have said it is easier than having bigger gaps.
I don't know that you ever feel ready.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say, even though I hear, I feel like I'm back there. I'm having my second baby. I was planning, we were renovating a house, so yep, building it from scratch. So I'm living in my parents' apartment while we build this house. And I go to dinner with all my friends saying, the one thing we're going to not do while we build this house is be those people that fall pregnant with the second while renovating. And I reckon I was pregnant as I said it. So suddenly we're having two just on two.
Yeah.
We're renovating and I'm exactly the same. We got into the house a week before my second Liam was born. And I just remember thinking I'm not ready and it wasn't the gap that I wanted and is this good for me, good for him? And same feelings about, I think it's so normal to be feeling like my oldest is still a baby and yeah, I'm not sure. I think there's a question a lot of mums have, which is like, can my heart open to another human? And here is what I want to say. It can. And I really believe we grow a new heart for every baby. Mm. And I believe that like whatever your story is, mm-hmm, you know, there's magic in it. Like it took us 2 years to get pregnant with our first and infertility and then every other baby was a happy surprise-y.
Yep.
Accident. Especially the last.
Yeah.
And the other thing is I remember falling pregnant with my last.
Yep.
And walking out to the Oracle, mm-hmm, and I didn't even tell him I was doing a pregnancy test and we were done.
Mm-hmm.
So I walk out and I say, oh, my God, I have to tell you something, and I just put the pregnancy test out. Mm-hmm. And we'd just been at a horrendous school event, Christmas carols in the playground, where we'd been juggling a 12-month-old yep, child going, thank goodness, we're done.
Yeah.
And I put this out in front of him and the Oracle says, well, they're all going to public school.
Yeah.
And then he says, we're getting a bus, we're getting a van, because he's always wanted a van.
Oh, sweet. That was
But I do remember, you know, I do remember, I reckon I cried on and off for 6 weeks and it's like just the bestest now. I'm so happy I've got the 4 and I just love it. I just really believe in like your story.
And trusting the process. I also feel like as women and as mums, we desperately want to have all our ducks in a row. But and so I absolutely understand what she's saying about bringing
and
a baby home.
And the ducks are running left, right, yeah, and center.
I understand about her not wanting to bring a baby home to a, you know, one-bedroom apartment. But like, well,
she
look
clarified
at me.
It's actually two. She clarified that.
I had been with Ryan for 6 months when I fell pregnant. We were also living in a one-bedroom apartment and I had no pregnancy health cover. I always thought I was going to go through a private hospital with an obstetrician and stuff. I didn't even have pregnancy on my private health insurance. But I just we rolled with it. And then Bobby was obviously planned. And then two was fun. But my game plan was also to not have three until Charlie had started school.
Yeah.
We had both spoken about that. My mum had said, you know, three under four was quite full on. So blah, blah, blah. And so I was like, great. Next minute, next week, find out I'm pregnant. So I had three under four. And we were living in a two-bedroom townhouse, and Bobby and Kobe were already sharing a room. Bobby and Charlie were already sharing a room. And I did not plan on having a third so soon. But in hindsight now, I absolutely love how close they are. And I also love that they're all growing up in very similar stages together.
Yeah.
Now that they're all kind of, I mean, Kobe's almost five, it's like I'm well and truly done out of the baby years.
Yeah.
And I think to myself now, if I had waited till Charlie was at school and then now I still had like a one-year-old at home, that would, I don't know. It would, personally, I feel like it would feel a little bit more disjointed. Like, I love that the kids are all super, super close, and nothing went to plan, but everything kind of did, if that makes sense.
Yeah. We're so the same in that we had cut our health insurance. So Harry was born in a public hospital, which is, was so awesome.
Hey, all three of mine are in public, and I absolutely sing their praises.
Same, same. I wish I could go back and do it all again. But I guess what I would say no, can I clarify? I do not want to go back and give birth again.
Can
I just clarify? Never again. But I would go public again for sure. I wanted to, I guess, just give some space to Shannon and just say, feel those feels. Like, it's just, it's okay to not feel sure. And I think we get more sure with time. And I've definitely shed some tears at times or not felt ready. And then, you know, I look back now, like, we're able to sit here now all cozy on the couch and say, oh, it all works out. Yeah. And, it makes sense to feel worried and, you know, it will work out. We get through those bits. And then longer term, there are pluses to every family makeup. There'll be so many pluses to the kids being close together.
Yep.
You're more than enough for this baby and the baby to come. And you do have a heart for every baby. And I kind of believe that we sort of grow a new relationship for every child, and that kind of expands our love. And just allow yourself to grieve maybe that this did come sooner than you wanted. I think it's okay to feel that. You don't have to bottle that in. I think let it out and know that, I think it'll work out.
Yeah.
I reckon the other thing that is so important for us as parents is checking in with someone, not just about this. So it can be a really good opportunity to even talk to someone about how you're feeling about this, going and checking in with a psychologist if you felt like you really do want to work through feelings about a second baby, and just talking about what that means for you and looking at, you know, options. The other thing is, I think now is a good time to start thinking about self-care in a meaningful way. How are you two managing the juggle of one, and how's that going to change in the lead up to two? How can we really support you?
Get yourself a mother's helper. That's what
I did. Mother's helper, same. And I did not do that for my second and fell in just a dark hole heap. My second had reflux. My oldest was two, and that was the hardest year of my parenting, hands down. By the time I had my third, I was so good at putting in place things that would help. We were living in Brisbane away from family. I got a 16-year-old that would come over two afternoons a week, help me with bath time and dinner time, or walk the baby. And then by the time we had four, we got in an au pair because I was like, this isn't doable on my own. And look, what's suitable and works for each parent is going to be different, but sitting down, particularly as a couple, and looking at how can we support each other through the transition into a second child, how can we put some things in place now that support that postnatal period, I think all of that's a really good thing to think about.
Good luck with it, Shannon. And if you want to chat with other mums, I'm sure there's loads in the Facebook group that have probably gone through similar situations that might be able to just offer up some words of affirmation and make you feel less alone.
This is Beyond the Chaos.
So much chaos.
We've got one more question here from Lauren, who is struggling with a milk-related meltdown.
Hi, guys. Coming to you from my bathroom at 7:30 a.m. after another breakfast milk meltdown. I have run out of ideas. I do not know what to do anymore, but breakfast time is just traumatizing for everybody, and I need some other ideas. So my three-year-old has a meltdown nearly every morning about wanting more milk in his Weet-Bix. I put 1 cup of milk in a jug for him to empty into his bowl, and even then, once it's covered up all the Weet-Bix, only 2 Weet-Bix, he still insists that he needs more milk. This is day 2 of me absolutely not giving in to putting in more milk. And yesterday was great. Today is an absolute shit show. I'm trying to connect with him before breakfast. I've even tried doing, 5-10 minutes of play before breakfast. But it is hard because I also have a 4-month-old and I've been letting myself sleep in. And daycare drop-off days, it's all a bit congested because we leave the house at 8 o'clock or 8:30. Anyway, just really, really struggling with this stupid fucking Weet-Bix dilemma. And I don't know what else to do. I've done that. I can see you're really disappointed you're not getting any more milk, but he's already in meltdown mode by then. Yesterday I was able to talk to him and say, this is all your milk that you're getting, before we even sat at the table, and that seemed to work. But today I forgot, and now he just wants me to sit with him. I can't even make my own breakfast, and it's just ridiculous. Please help.
I firstly would love to know why she has a problem giving him more milk. Like, I was always told Bobby has always iron deficiencies, so they say not to give them too much milk. Bobby is also a milk monster, and when he has his cereal, he likes none of the cereal to be showing on the top of the milk, right? So he wants to drown all of his cereal, which means excessive amounts of milk. Now, I will pour it in, and then what I was finding was a lot of the time he would eat all his cereal and then just be like a soup bowl of milk. But then what I do is I pour it into a little cup and I put it in the fridge. And then when he wants milk with his lunch, with a glass of milk or something, I pull it out. Here you go, buddy. Also, it tastes delicious because you've had Nutrigrain in it. So you're welcome, Bobby.
Boom. Look, I think in this case, we've got a 3-year-old, we've got a 4-month-old baby. So this child is adjusting to a sibling. And I think what I got from talking to this mum is that even if we fill the bowl to the brim, he still wants more milk. Like, he'd pour it over the rim of the bowl onto the table. He wants, he would pour 2 litres out.
So it's not even, it might not even be about the milk.
It's not about the milk.
Yeah, it's just about him pushing a boundary.
That's what it's about. This kid is saying, I actually need to let some feelings out, about the fact you just went and had like another baby.
How dare you have another child?
You seem to be kind of quite fond of it. And I am wired to seek you out, connect with you and compete with this little baby for affection and attention. I don't know what all this means for me, and I can't articulate any of that. And
well,
so what I need
fuck with
to do.
You every breakfast.
Well, it's more like, how can I control a little piece of my world when it is spinning out of my control? Mm. You know what I can control? My goddamn milk. And so he wants to control the milk. What she did say, and she's doing so well. All these mums, like, I just always think people are thinking, I'm connecting and I'm naming feelings. You're doing beautifully. I think the piece we're missing is, kid's going to have a meltdown.
Yeah.
He's going to have to get that emotion out. And actually the single biggest thing this mum could do is look after herself, be kind to herself, because it's really hard when you have a 3-year-old that's losing it over the Weet-Bix and the milk and a newborn baby or just out of the newborn phase. But I think the next step is, and he's probably going to need to just have that meltdown.
Yeah.
And I think kids will sometimes ask for the unrealistic, the thing they know
they're not going to get.
Or like every day, why do kids cry over getting in or out of the bath? Often because they know the next step is bedtime. And so what they're crying about is separating from you or just getting the emotions from the day out. Or kids that will cry over, mummy, buckle my seatbelt. No daddy, no mummy, no daddy. Or I want to control the milk in my bowl. And this is all so normal, so developmental. And our problem is, as parents, we're trying to sit with feelings and like name it. Whereas
hold boundaries.
Our parents would have gone, go to your room and come back when you've wiped that frown off your face. And so it's horrific for us. So be very kind to yourself as you're doing something so incredible that no previous generation has had to do. Yeah. while juggling two small children, you're doing amazing.
Yeah.
Keep at it.
Yep.
And let the kid have his milk meltdown because he's just doing what he has to do to get those feelings out. I really believe that.
I also feel like the more kids you have, the more oblivious you become to meltdowns. But like Kobe, you can be thrown down as a 3 or 4 year old. And I'm like, oh, wait, sorry. Is there a noise going on?
The other night we had this massive fight in our house because my eldest had picked on my youngest for the amount of tomato sauce he put on his sausage. And I was like, just leave him alone. Like, why do you have to police it? And then I walked out and there is like 3 bottles of sauce on my sausage. Like the sauce is overflowing the plate and onto the table. And I'm like,
okay,
I'm not going to pile on because your sibling has done that parenting for me, but probably a bit too much sauce.
Oh, wow. That was a very diplomatic approach from you.
I would have been like, well, you pick your battles.
Yeah, you do.
Tomato sauce. Not so worried. I want to say thank you so much for that question to Lauren and hang in there. I think the year that follows the birth of your second baby can be a bit of a shit show. Yeah. Show not to scare Shannon. You're going to be fine, Shannon.
Yeah.
We're all going to get through it together.
We all get through it.
You get through it.
It's a roller coaster.
Yeah, look after yourselves.
Strap yourself in.
This is Beyond the Chaos. What's chaos, Mum?
Let's finish up today with
happy endings.
Yeah.
Sorry. She's giggling about happy endings.
Not that kind.
I don't know where your dirty mind went.
Tell me about what's working in your house this week.
Very little, but a win for us is the place that we're staying at has a pool out the back and it is heated all year round, 34 degrees, or you can make it warmer and that's
a bath.
That's where I send my kids most nights now.
I love it.
So I'm ruling out bath time. I'm like, yeah, who wants to go for a swim?
Put some swags in the yard and call it a day.
I should get them a little BBQ, little Weber, teach them how to light it.
Dinner, bath, bed.
So, but to be honest, I'm just like in the pool, they love it. It's like the most exciting part of their day and I don't have to be sitting there washing their hair. I mean, their hair hasn't been washed in 2 weeks.
Doesn't matter. I don't want to say when was the last time I washed a head of hair.
And to be honest, it's keeping my bathroom tidy because when those fuckers are in there, it's just there's water everywhere.
Oh, like seals.
Yeah, like literally seals. Mm. Win for you.
Okay. So Andy and I, the Oracle and I, celebrated our 20-year wedding anniversary.
Wow. The anniversary.
Happy anniversary. And I thought about what I wanted to do and we got married. Our reception was in a Chinese restaurant, which is it's another story altogether. But I decided I want to go out to dinner with my children to a Chinese restaurant. And so we went out to our local Chinese restaurant and we went to dinner. And we don't do that a lot only because I've had 4 kids and they were just all a bloody nightmare. And there was kind of a period where we couldn't go within 100 metres of anywhere with China.
Yeah.
So we just didn't eat out much because it's expensive.
Of course.
And if I'm going to eat out, I want to enjoy it. And so I don't take my kids.
Yep.
But I took them out and it was just the nicest night and it was so nice to kind of celebrate 20 years and oh my goodness.
And with your kids.
And they can sit at a table.
And behave themselves.
Look, reasonably. We all got ice cream. It was a win. And then, we are going away for a little weekend.
Oh, nice.
Just
in the van?
Before Mother's Day. No, just the Oracle and I. We're going to the Whitsundays.
Can I ask, who puts their hand up to babysit 4 boys?
My mother-in-law.
Does she?
Oh my God, I love her so much.
Well, she birthed the Oracle. What's her nickname?
Kez.
I was thinking more like something angelic.
No.
Keza. What a legend.
Keza is an absolute legend.
I mean, at least your boys are quite self-sufficient now.
She
like,
minded
no one's...
my 4 kids when Harry, my youngest, was 11 months old and we went to New York for 10 days.
We love Kez.
Yeah, we love Kez. I couldn't have survived without Kez and Phil.
Kez and Phil, you have to throw. But we all know Kez does most of the work.
Well, actually, Phil does a lot. Phil
does
walks
he?
Our dog 3 days a week.
Oh, nice.
And takes the boys to swimming. Like, we're really lucky. Amazing.
Yeah, so good.
Grandparents, shout out to the grandparents.
Yeah, we love
my the parents
grandparents.
Are great too.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yep.
We will be back in a fortnight's time. Jump onto our private Facebook group. There's so many funny mums in there.
And no happy endings.
And I mean, there's lots of happy endings in there. It's mums helping each other out, which is what this whole journey in life on motherhood is all about. Yes. So it's a nice little safe space and it's a nice little haven for.
Yep. And follow us on Instagram.
Insta.
Beyond the Chaos. Podcast.
Yep.
And
send us any questions.
Send us your questions. We'll help you out.
Yeah.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I love you too.
Love you too.
You love me or the listeners?
I love you. I love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.